Good morning. It is awesome to be here. My wife Anita and I are just so humbled and honored that you allow us to be here to be part of your worship this morning and worship our Lord and share some of the work that he's doing in South Sudan and the work that he's doing all over the world through people like you. So before I start, my name is Russell Wolf. I got to know you actually through CMA here, King's Ransom here in Rocky Mountain House, and you've become dear to our hearts. And my wife Anita is sitting right over there, and we stand out a little bit because we thought we'd like to give you a little bit of sense what worship looks like, first of all, in South Sudan where we attend our church. And so Anita, as you saw, is wearing the headscarf and the full skirt. She's better at describing it than me. You can talk to her afterwards. I just know that's what she wears. And then myself, I wear dress pants and either a collared shirt or a shirt like this. It is Sunday best for those people. They might not even have two sets of clothing, but they have one set of clothing that is for Sunday to worship their Lord. The next thing that we would do is we would separate. Men, you'd all be over here, and women over there, and children everywhere. And then the other thing that I probably should do if we're going to have a true African service is give you a moment to phone anybody you were going to meet with after lunch, because we'll be done by about 2 this afternoon. Worship service goes for about 4 hours. They love praising and worshiping their Lord. In saying that, I'd just like to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here. I ask that my words be your words, Lord, and that you open the hearts and the minds of everyone here, that they can just be encouraged a little bit to share the gospel wherever their mission field is, Lord. I just ask that you be with all of us now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to begin actually reading from Acts chapter 1. We're all pretty familiar with this one. Verses 7 and 8. So Jesus actually gave the Great Commission 5 different times out of his mouth. And this is the one I'm going to start with. We're going to actually look at another one later on. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And it's important that we look at that all, because it's also important that we read, it is not for us to know the time. Anita and I are in our late 50s. That's when we were called to be in South Sudan. He prepared us to then. So he knows when there's going to be people cross your paths to share the gospel with. I want to tell you one quick story before we get into some of the work that God is doing in South Sudan. I just heard this a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually a true story that happened in Three Hills in a senior's home. A 90-year-old man was handing out the Gospel of John to everyone in the senior's complex. He gave it to a 100-year-old man who was not a Christian. 2 weeks later, that 100-year-old man came to him and said, "I've accepted Christ." 2 weeks later, that 100-year-old man died. So often, we think we've done our job, but there's nowhere in here that it says, okay, be my hands and feet until I'm 65 or 70, or wait till you're 35. If you've got a breath in your lungs, you are called to be part of God's plan, part of the Great Commission. And it's important that we understand the Great Commission. The Barnaba Group is an organization in the United States that does surveys amongst Christians. And so they surveyed church-going Christians. So not people walking on the street saying they're a Christian, but people walking into the church on Sunday morning. They asked them if they knew what the Great Commission was. 65% of them had never heard of it. The church is failing on sharing the gospel. Only 17.5% knew what the Great Commission was, knew what it meant, and knew that it meant sharing God's love to the people. So real quick, and I should say this too before I forget, because people ask, Anita and I are 1 year now in South Sudan, Doro, South Sudan. God has actually called us there, actually. And we say actually because we're not sure if he knows what he's doing, saying that, Russell and Anita, you're going to be there for 6 years. So this is one of 6 years. So a little bit of, who has, next slide, or the first slide, whichever. This is just briefly who SIM is, Serving in Mission. It's a non-denominational organization with a strong faith statement and a strong values. It is important that any organization that you get involved with, you look at that. There is lots of false teachings out there. I put only, their faith statement has, I think, 10 different points. I put two of them up there. Just say, the Bible is God's word and it's without fail. And the second is, salvation is through a gift from God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We work in over 70 different countries with over 4,500 workers, 129 years old. And then it breaks down into different entities. There's actually 40 different entities around the world doing the work, and each of them have a governing council. And actually, Becky Dorshak is on the council of SIM South Sudan. And so that council is made up of people from 7 different countries. And they meet quarterly, I believe, is what it is. Next slide. So just where we are real quickly. So if you look at Egypt, we all know where Egypt is. And you go straight down, you got Sudan, South Sudan. South Sudan is the newest country on the planet. They declared independence from Sudan in 2011. You move over to the map beside it, that is the states of South Sudan, and we are in the Upper Nile. So we're kind of in that dog tail that goes up into the green in South Sudan. The demographics of where we live in Mban County is about 75,000 people make up the Mban County, and then there's a refugee camp around us that fluctuates between 150 to 200,000 people. 19 different tribes, 19 different languages. And so Arabic is the overcompassing one. The next slide. So I don't want to really concentrate too much on who Anita and I are, how we live and stuff, because that's not important. What is important is the work as God is doing. But this is always a question we get asked, so we're going to put it away right off the start. This is our home. So that is our home in the middle. It is 7 meters by 8 meters. Has a bedroom, kind of a sitting office area. In the front veranda is where we cook our meals and eat. On the left is the shower, and on the right is the toilet. And as Anita describes it, we're also worried about water conservation. That is water-conserving toilet, that one. And every morning when we wake up, just to give you an idea how we live, when we go to the toilet, the first thing we do is you kick the toilet to make sure a snake or a scorpion hasn't decided that that's where home is. Next slide. And I just have to show God's beauty. So it's a sunset, sunrise, and the moon. And the night I took the picture of the moon there, a friend from Rocky Mountain House sent me a picture of the full moon shining. God's greatness right there. So I'm going to share with you some of the work that God is doing through our team. I want to read from you first and why we do it. So we have 2 projects that meet physical needs of the people, and then we're always trying to meet the spiritual needs of the people. So from Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. When we are helping others, we are helping our Lord. And then why do we share Christ's love over and beyond the Great Commission and Jesus telling us to do it. We're just going to flip over to Matthew 22, 37 to 39. So this is when the Pharisees were challenging Jesus. And he said to them, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is the greatest love that we can show our neighbor? Specifically the neighbors that don't know Christ. Share Jesus with them. That is why we do this. And then what we also read in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you do, do everything to glorify God. Next slide. So this is our medical clinic. Our medical clinic, we see between 3,500 and 4,500 patients a month. Ailments are anywhere from malaria to stomach ailments, and I can go on and on. But what is really cool, the man down in the bottom left-hand corner going like that is one of our chaplains. He's Maban. We have three of them. He's sharing Jesus with everyone waiting to see the doctor. So 35 to 4,500 people a month hear God's love. And these are people, I've met witch doctors, I've met people that are, there's Muslims, whatever you can imagine, they come there. That clinic is free, so they come. They hear God's love through our chaplains. The top corner where you see the two crutches, we have the only leprosy clinic in the Upper Nile State. So people come from all over. There are people, our staff are praying with a patient. And there's many times leprosy, the only cure to leprosy is God. And they've seen miracles there. We also have a maternity ward where it's prenatal and postnatal. Birthing does not take place there right now because of lack of people and funding. But we do, and child nutrition. Thank you. This is usually what Anita shares about the maternity wards. So the next slide. The other physical need that we meet is boreholes, water wells. So the first focus is repairing boreholes. If you did a search in Africa, there are thousands of water wells that are not in production because they're broke down. 8 out of 10 times it's a simple fix, but people do not know how to fix it. We need to train the people how to repair, and then we need to repair those boreholes. So in the right slide, that is where we're repairing a borehole. And then I was blessed to be the harvester. And when I say the harvester, we know that doing God's work, there's a planter, there's the water, the feeder, and then there's the harvester. Village of Palmcade had been waiting for a water well for 3 years. The work had started. These people are walking 2.5 hours for water. And that is us drilling a borehole in Palm Cay so people could have fresh water. Excuse me. When our team goes out to fix a borehole or when we were drilling that water well, we are sharing the gospel. I'll be honest with you, we're not sharing the gospel to the level we want to because we don't have the people. We would love to have, when we go out to repair a borehole, an evangelist go with them to 100% share the gospel when our guys are repairing the borehole. We just don't have that yet. So we start the repair with some song in their native language, some prayer, a couple scriptures, and then we repair the borehole. When we drilled the borehole in Palm Cay, actually one of our fellows that works for us as a pastor, he spent 10 days there sharing the gospel while the borehole was being drilled. So in Proverbs we read, Proverbs 14:31, the one who oppresses the poor person insults his maker, but the one who is kind to the needy honors him. So when we ignore the needy, we are dishonoring our Heavenly Father. So often we think it's just money, that's how we got to help. It's way beyond that, people. A phone call to the lonely to say, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying about you. So why this intentional sharing the gospel? Beyond the five times that Jesus talks about the Great Commission, we hear it many times. Just go, if you haven't done it for a while, and this is a side note, because it just happened to me the other day. Go into the Bible, pick a theme, I don't care what theme, and just start following it through the Bible. The word comes alive right in front of you if you allow God to do that. It is so cool. And everything you are experiencing in your life today is in here. But in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul tells us to imitate him as he imitates Christ. Paul is telling us every day to imitate Christ. He says it again in 2 Corinthians 11:1-2. Sorry, Ephesians 5:1 first. Paul again tells us to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. When you wake up tomorrow morning, Monday morning, we know how that is. Are you imitating Christ? Or is our secular world filling you in? It does to all of us. We are grateful that Jesus forgives us. Or in 2 Corinthians 11, 1-2, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We know that imitating, we know what that is, being just like Jesus. But what is ambassador? Let's just look at the word ambassador for a second. The secular definition of it, an accredited diplomat set by a country as an official representative to a foreign country. Our Heavenly Father has sent each and every one of you here to be his ambassador, to represent him, to promote him. Paul is calling us to be ambassadors. So another thing that we do is we equip the church. We work with the church, equip the church. The church is very, very young in their knowledge of what it is to be a church between Sunday and Sunday. And so that is where we are working with them. So let's, next slide. So this, I just wanted to give you a quick glance. On the left, that is actually Sunday, Christmas Day worship. And the man in the blue is teaching a man how to use his Bible for the very first time. On the very right is baptism. Christmas Day, there were 7 people baptized at the church that we attend. In February, a bunch of the local pastors went out into the village, into the bush. In one day, 7 pastors baptized 240 people. That is incredible, but that also means the work is only starting for the church, because we all know that the baptism, that isn't the end. That's the beginning, and the church needs to know how to nourish and grow these people. And I only show you the picture in the middle because I am still looking for advice. This is my 6th Sunday sharing, and I still haven't got an answer to this. That is our guard. So a guard during the day is supposed to be walking around, doing his job. He's reading his Bible. How do I discipline a guard who's reading his Bible? They eat up the word. They love it. Next slide. So this is just equipping the church as well. Shortly after I got there, I met with many of the pastors in the area and leaders of the church just to ask them. We have an agreement with the SIC Church, which is Sudan Interior Church, and we work together. And just what their needs were, and we took it beyond money. They will always say they need this built, that built, this built. But we took it into what kind of education they need and stuff like that. The other slide is our bookstore and library. So there we sell many Christian books in their language if it's available, and the Bible. And yes, we sell them. Because part of the challenge is these people have to take ownership. They have to have a little bit of skin in the game. So when you give them a Bible, a lot of times it could be like this. But if they pay just that small amount of money, it's theirs. So they've got some ownership. And then they're interested in reading it and learning. The other building is being built, by the library as a training center. And that training center, when it is complete, we will have pastors come in and different groups just to help train and equip them. Just some of the churches The Center Church is the first SIM church planted in the area, and that is what we call our home church. The church on the left is a Uduk church. That's in the refugee camp. That church, when I spoke at it, like many churches, they come together, they worship, and then they dismiss the Sunday school kids for Sunday school. They're one of the only two churches with structured Sunday school, something else that we have to grow. They got to understand that Sunday school is more than just singing songs. So I stood up, and the translator said, "Oh, we forgot to dismiss the kids." It was like ants leaving a building. In that small area there, 430 kids left to go to Sunday school. There was 300 and some adults left. That's how tight they were in there to hear the word. The church on the right, I was telling you about where we drilled for Palm K and that we had a pastor there for 10 days. They are now building a church in that village. So how do we equip the church? I want to read you again from Acts 18, 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native Alexandrian, an eloquent man, who was competent in use of the scriptures, arrived in Ephesus. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and been fervent in the Spirit. He was speaking and teaching accurately about Jesus, although he knew only of John's baptism. He began speaking boldly in the synagogue. After Priscilla and Aquila heard him, and they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. Then he went over and crossed over to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters welcomed. He became more of a discipler. The key here is that he was preaching. He was preaching what he knew. Recognize when they use the word scriptures in the New Testament, they're only talking Old Testament. They were living the New Testament. And so what did they do? Did they walk right up front here and say, "Russell, you're not saying the right thing"? They took him to the side. Or in one translation, they took him to their home. And they taught him. They taught him more about who Jesus was. And he went on, so some scholars, the book of Hebrews actually, nobody knows exactly who wrote that, but he is one of the ones that is suspected of maybe writing that. So we are challenged by God's word to equip the church, to encourage each other. So you might be saying, how do I know what to say? How do I know how to equip the church? How do I know how to share God's love? It's all right here. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God. Other translations use God breathed. And it is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training righteous, so that man of God can be complete, equipped for doing God's good work. The answers are in here. Next slide. Missing one. So BU and Getacho, I just wanted to show you our two full-time evangelists. They go out into the refugee camp, meet individually in small Bible studies. One is from India and one is from Ethiopia. Next slide. So we lead Bible studies. I lead a men's Bible study. And the Mabon people are fortunate. Scripture is translated in both Old and New Testament for them. So Bible study also becomes reading lessons. They learn how to read the Bible as well as we read Scripture and study Scripture. The Bible study on the other is one that Anita attends. That's in the Jumjum, right, Anita? And Jumjum do not have the Word of God in their language yet. It is being translated right now by another organization. The Uduk Church, which I preached at, they only have the New Testament. And after you go after the New Era, the Bible's being translated in their language, and then from there, we have many tribes that don't have God's word in their own language. And you saw that man sitting there, seeing the Bible, God's word in his own language. that means so much when you can read it in your own language. Next slide. So I have the privilege, the honor of speaking God's word various times. On the left is me actually at the celebration in Palm Cay after the borehole and a small medical clinic, getting to share God's love. The middle is the Uruk Church, and the other one is the Maban Church, the brick church I saw you. And just because I know many of you will see the cross sideways, why is it sideways? That was a sewing error, and they don't know how to correct it. That's as simple as that. You know, some of the things we take so much, but it was just a simple error. So when I preach, I use God's word, but I slide two messages in all the time. The first one is salvation is a gift of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We live in a Muslim area, like many of the refugees are Muslim, so works come into that all the time. And the church is still starting to learn that. Understand that it is a gift. You don't have to work. Just ask. Ask for forgiveness of your sins and ask, and you have salvation. And the other one is forgiveness amongst ourselves. It is very much a revengeful society, even within the church. So people fight, you look how to get even. And the Lord has actually directed Anita and I to the larger churches. I told you, Gatacho and Biu are to the smaller home churches and stuff. We're attending the churches and making the relationships at the larger churches, which is important. Next slide. So real quickly, Sunday school teacher training. This is the first time the church has come to us asking for training. That is a baby step. That is a huge step because the church is wanting it. So Anita and Biu, they teach them. They don't have the curriculum that we do here. They don't have all the colors and the crayons and stuff like that. They teach them how to take a Bible story and turn it into a Sunday school lesson. Nita can go into more detail about that later if you're interested. Next slide. So relationships. Part of this first year has been building relationships. It is so key. Any of the CMAers that are in here, and I see some of you, love you all, we were taught, earn the right to speak. That is what we're doing here as well. We have to earn the right to speak to these people. That is why we dress the way we do, specifically the women, actually, as well. But we read. So how do we? In Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of self-ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not in his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. What would this world be like today if we all did that? And in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, we read, first of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. I challenge any one of you in here, think of somebody who you're mad at, that you're just mad at. Try staying mad at them and pray for them at the same time. It does not work. Pray for everybody. We're told that right here. And in John 13:34-35, I give you a new command, love one another just as I have loved you. So, three things to build relationships, not just in South Sudan, right here in Rocky Mountain House. Put them before yourself. Pray for them and love them. So this is just Anita with, and she's got more detail, a couple ladies, but I do want to tell you a quick story about the man she is with. That is what we call our local co-op from Spruce View that was just a co-op in there. And so this is, we can walk to this shop to buy onions, potatoes, laundry soap, a cold soda. But Anita's been building a relationship with this man and his partner. They're Muslim. You don't think God works? We know Muslim culture. They look at their own women down. Here they're welcoming her into their shop for tea. Anita had to go there twice to reassure them that we will be back in October to see them. It is cool how God works. That is not Anita. She'll stand up and say, that's not me. That's God working. That is God working through her. Next slide. The kids and just the head pastor, the tall man standing beside me, is the chairperson of the SIC church. I was privileged to spend time with him. And the other fella is a pastor in the area as well. Next slide. Just some of my relationships. The fella in the blue denim shirt is one that works for us. He's a Christian man, God, and God's graciousness, he put him into our team. He isn't a SIM member, but we hire him to do a lot of work, and it is great. And I could spend a half an hour here telling you how we got to that man, because he was not our first choice because we didn't know him. The man we knew couldn't do it all of a sudden, and that way it went to him. Meeting with pastor, and the other fella is actually from Palm Cay, and we're just looking at pictures there of how Palm Cay had grown. Next slide. So go and make disciples. There should be one more picture there. Obviously, it didn't get transferred over. It doesn't matter. It's watching water flow out of a borehole with people smiling around it. So I read from Acts 1:8 at the beginning. I'm now going to read Matthew, the one that we're all familiar with. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We really have to make sure we look at the whole Bible as we know that when we're studying the Bible. Even the Great Commission. We get stuck on Matthew quite often. The church does. What's the first Great Commission Bible verses you see? Matthew. It's very intentional, go and make disciples. Make disciples is one-on-one talking with people. In Acts, Jesus is telling us, you are to be my witness. What is a witness? It goes beyond talking. It's how we act every day. This has become so evident to Nita and I, and we're ashamed to say it took us to go to South Sudan to realize how much people are watching how we as Christians act. I am ashamed to say that. You need to remember that when you leave here tomorrow morning. Everybody is watching you. I listened to a pastor once, a sermon from down in Florida. The sermon was titled, Are You Living a Questionable Life? Well, that intrigued me right away. And his whole theme was, are you living a life that people are going to ask you, how come you're doing this? That opens the door to share the gospel with them. You might be saying right now, what is my role? God has a plan for each and every one of us. He does. And you know what the cool thing is? He knew, if you accepted it, he knew your role in his plan before you were even born. Before you were in your mother's womb. You know what? When he said, let there be light, he knew that Russell would be speaking here today. That is cool. And that's for each and every one of you, young and old in here. He knew that you'd be sitting in here today. He's got plans for you. Discern them. The first thing you do when you're discerning, the first don't that you do when you're discerning your call for God is look at other people. God did not create us all the same. If we were all called to be pastors like Pastor Kelly, who would be out there for him to talk to? But he has a plan for each and every one of you. It is between you and God, your role in his great plan to share the gospel across this world. Yes, we would love you to be part of our team. I'll be honest. And you are, because we know you have prayers. And I should have said this at the start. When I use the word we, that includes everybody, not just the people on the ground, but the people that are praying for us, the people that financially support us. It is a we thing, and it's God working through those we's. But please remember, it's between you and God. Next slide. I just wanted to show you a small part of our team. Our team on the ground is 12 people, I think. Am I right, Nita? From Kenya, Ethiopia, Switzerland, Canada, New Zealand. We actually have no Americans on the ground. They're in the head office. Maybe that's why it goes so well. Sorry. Our director is American, and we have this all the time, fun competition. So in conclusion, I just want to show you three more slides, I think. The first one is how to be part of our team. Next slide. First and foremost, prayer, prayer, prayer. I actually shared a sermon 3-4 weeks ago, how prayer is the only thing that has kept us going in South Sudan. Not just our prayer, but the prayer of everyone around the world that knows us. Financial support, obviously, unfortunately, it takes money to do things. But I'm going to go down, 1, 2, 3, 4. Come visit us. We would love to have visitors. We'll roll out the South Sudanese Doral red carpet for you. And it is red rock. Or bring a team and we'll put you to work. We've always got work. But again, anything, whether it's this or the work you're doing in Rocky Mountain House or wherever as a church, it is between you and God, not between you and Russell and Anita or you and whoever. I want to show you just two quick slides because this is a prayer request. Since we have been gone, flooding has been terrible in our area. That is our home. This is the third time water's come into our home since we have been gone. But this isn't the concerning part. If we got stuff spoiled there, they're just things. Go to the next slide. Crops and food are being gone. People are dying. People are drowning. And what it is, it's like a flash flood. It's not a rain and a slow flood. It's waters from Ethiopia that come down, and they come down fast. And if the people aren't prepared, they get caught off guard. So I just show you those just to, in your daily prayers for the next while, if you can remember the people of Maban County and that part of South Sudan as we struggle with the flooding. It would be greatly appreciated. With that, I want to say thank you for the honor and privilege of being here. Thank you for your love and prayers, and I will turn it over.